We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Radio.com.
It'll be out this week, and we're taking it really... It's really day to day, and like every week, we'll, you know, hopefully we'll see progress.
It's probably something that he's developed over time. You know, it's hard to remember exactly if he's always been like that. I mean, there's a lot of practices and preseason games, so I mean, you're talking about a lot of stuff that's probably been erased from my memory. But I mean, he learned from the best guy that he could possibly learn from. So. That guy, you know, Peyton never took a lot of sacks. And when you get to sit behind a guy like that for as long as he did, be in meetings every day, hear him talk through games afterwards, I mean, that's valuable.
Well, I don't have social media, so I'm not a big hashtag guy, but it is pretty cool to see guys in the locker room. We've been having fun with it. Obviously, my family's had fun with it, so go ahead and keep writing it. It's fun.
Brock Lobster for you. A little Brock Lobster for you. Time for your chance to win $1,000. It's a 560 WQAM $1,000 touchdown. We're going to play with that until he's done playing. We're going to get all that out there. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word umbrella to 72881 in your register. Text umbrella, UMBRELLA, to 72881 right now. If you don't win this time, your next chance at the top of the next hour, WQAM's $1,000 touchdown contest brought to you by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive umbrella. The 7-name code word, Brock Lobster.
All right, and we got Brocktober going on right now.
Brocktoberfest, right?
That's right. That's what this is. So we'll find out if Brocktober continues. See, I think of Brocktober, I'm going, oh, Brocktober. Like, can he play well again against the Lions? That'll make it a nice Brocktober. And, of course, let's Brock and roll while we're at it, man. Let's just keep Brocking and rolling
there.
That's
it.
So,
well, if you get to Hard Brock Stadium.
But you got to get Hard Brock Stadium
you get there
first.
This weekend, yeah.
Yeah. No, no.
We're
going
to have fun with that until it's over, right? We have to?
Hey, I haven't been around him. Everything we've seen has been from far away. And I said this yesterday, and, you know, his image, and we watched that Houston thing go on, and even going from Denver to Houston, and Denver wanted to keep him. And it was just kind of ugly, and we were seeing a side of him. And then when he got benched, and he was asked to play again in Houston, and then Cleveland couldn't get rid of him fast enough in the preseason, and then Denver said, okay, you're done. So here he is, and he's got a real likable personality. But more than that, listen, fans don't like you because you go, hey, he's not very good, but he's got a great personality. They like you when you throw for 380 yards and your team has 540 yards. And whatever it is, the troops rally around you. And you turn an 8-yard gain into a 70-yard gain.
Helps out also.
And you give a real nice pocket to your quarterback, and you're going, where the hell did this come from the front five? And everybody talking about how the two tackles graded out, like unbelievable, off the charts, James and Tunsil. And we got a new tight end that comes in, to be quite honest with, he's our best tight end. Nick O'Leary.
That's a pretty
like
good story.
Like you're going,
hey,
what are they going to do this week with, you know, Derby coming back? I go, I know what they're going to do. They're going to keep playing O'Leary. That's what they're going to do.
Absolutely. Why would they change something that worked so great last week? Why?
For what Nick O'Leary's asked to do, to block, catch the ball out in the flats, run, he's perfect. Obviously picked up the system real fast.
Yep.
He looked like he'd been here forever. He's a smart guy. And he's back home, Dwyer High School guy, by way of FSU. Got a lot of FSU fans down here.
Got a pretty successful grandfather, too.
By the way, and what a great grandfather he is, man. The guy goes to every game.
That's right.
Jack's like, no golf this weekend. No, hold off on the new commercial. going to watch my grandson
play. That's pretty cool.
You don't think? I can't wait to see him this Sunday. I talk to him before every game, and he's a pretty quiet guy, by the way.
Is he real quiet?
Yeah. I said, I yap a lot, man. I'm sorry, but I've had a lot of coffee here in the morning, and he just kind of looks at me. But I'm dying to ask him, like, hey, before we, what's your handicap, man? He's been around his dad, his uncles, his grandfather. They all golf.
Yeah.
And they're all really good. Like, he's been around.
Grandfather's a pretty good golfer, right?
It's kind of weird when you go, my grandfather is the greatest golfer of all time.
I know, that's
that's
not,
weird. But you don't have to say that, right?
No,
like,
no.
Everybody just looks at him and goes, your grandfather's. Your grandfather's a.
Like, that dude's grandfather's Jack Nicklaus.
And Jack ain't coming and going, hey, can I get a seat in the 200 section?
No.
He goes, can I get a suite?
Yeah. And you know what they say? Yes.
Every team. He
and
calls
it's fully
the owners.
Catered.
He calls the owners and goes, hey, this is Jack Nicklaus. What do you want, Mr. Nicklaus?
Yeah. What kind of food do you like? And how many people are you going to bring with you? Because we have it all ready to go.
It's a hell of a story.
It's awesome. It's Nick O'Leary. Any other given week, think about if Ryan was still the quarterback and we didn't have Brocktoberfest going on right now. Nick O'Leary would have been the story this whole week. He comes in off the practice squad, gets cut from a team, comes in and has that kind of a game, that kind of an impact in a game. As a guy who's probably on the depth chart, if you looked at it, like the fourth or fifth tight end, and then all of a sudden he's starting? And he does that? I mean, come on.
Well,
it's a great story.
He's here because of the injury bug at that position. And he just, you know, two of your guys go down, and Derby's been back and forth on this foot thing and has been able to play.
Nick O'Leary has solidified his place on this team.
So I'm doing my charts, and I go, well, you know, and you've been rotating these tight ends where they are. And I go, okay, O'Leary's first up, Gesicki second, and then we'll see about the rest of these guys. I'll tell you another really good pickup has been quietly, and nobody's talking about it, Travis Swanson at center. Comes in, another guy.
Rough first play and then good since
That's
then.
Why I always say when people, oh, that guy sucks in the NFL, and I go, sucks? Like, dude, what do you mean sucks? You ain't on somebody's roster and suck. And you may not be as good as a starter, but there ain't no guys out there that completely suck. There may be some guys that have bad games, bad moments, you know, but as far as, because there's guys like these guys that we just mentioned were out of football that you pick up, put them on practice squads when you can, or just wait and get them ready to go. So,
but look at the impact two guys that weren't on this roster a couple weeks ago are doing on this team right now.
Well, two of the guys who were a big part of the offense in this last game because of an injury bug and doing a good enough job that you can go out and have 540 yards of offense and be a big part of it. Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff going on here besides the quarterback stories, as in Ryan Tannehill's out. Brock Osweiler will start probably he will start this Sunday, but probably going to start, I'd say, real good chance he's going to start Thursday night, too, if he's healthy. And then the other story, of course, Malik Rozier will start against Boston College next week. And so Nekosi Perry goes to the bench, and we got stuff all over the board on that from Canes fans. And a lot, some good points in there, by the way, some good points. First of all, I always say this too, and nobody wants to hear it, but the offensive line is tied to all this stuff. I do agree. When the offensive line doesn't play well, it's hard for the quarterback. Outside of a few guys, the one guy that plays better than anybody with a bad offensive line in football, in my opinion, one of the greatest players I've ever seen, whether his O-line's good or it's all backups and he still plays well, is Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
Because he can throw the ball like going back and still be accurate, but most guys do appreciate having a good offensive line play a lot better.
That was the thing about Peyton Manning for years too, that he would make his offensive line look better than they were. He didn't have great offensive lines; he had good offensive lines, but not great. But he would make them look a lot better when you have that good of a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, like you just said, another amazing example. Like, they just make everyone around them a little bit better, including their offensive line.
I will tell you the greatest blitz quarterback I've ever seen for people that blitzed a lot and he made you pay was the guy that played here. He just got rid of it so quickly.
A release, come on.
And he'd hold it to the very last second and get hit right in the mouth, but he wouldn't take sacks. And that was the other thing. Dan Marino, you go back and look how many times he got sacked, and there were a lot of years that that number was Brady-like, where he just, because everybody blitzed, you know, you had to blitz or cover with eight guys, and when you blitzed them, it was on
the money.
You
make you pay. He'd get hit.
And his guys, whatever route he had them running, and he would hold it the last second to get the ball. And, of course, he had good guys that made you pay on the outside. But but it does help, man. Getting back to this, I know we got some stuff coming in. It's not about the quarterback. It's about the offensive line. Yes, the offensive line has to play better. And I want to – wow, you know, it's the guys we're recruiting. No, it's not the guys you're recruiting. You got a bunch of guys that – they recruited are really good players. They got, well, if they're not really good players, they got recruited by all the big schools. It wasn't like Miami was recruiting and was in competition with like UConn and Syracuse on all these guys. I just threw them out.
No, that's good. That's good. I like the UConn one.
But a lot, these guys are all potentially. Now, offensive line coach got to get more out of them and, you know, and that, but. I'm not going to read into to too much stuff. Malik Rozier, they want to win this game. That's obvious that he's making, because if he wanted, he could just go, all right, we're going back with Nkosi, and hopefully he plays better on the road where it's going to be loud and everything else. But, yeah, so Malik Rozier gets the start there. We got all kinds of other stuff going on here, too. By the way, did anybody catch the first inning last night, see what happened in a baseball game? What did you think about the interference call?
I mean, it was interference.
In the Red Sox and Astros game, You'll see the highlight.
It'll be the
highlight of the day. Every day you got that one highlight that everybody can have an opinion on, right? We had the Kansas City Chiefs tackle or no tackle on Tom Brady, and was he being careful? And everybody had an opinion on that. Everybody will have an opinion on fan interference. In left field.
I mean, it was fan interference.
Yes.
I mean, it's not even a question whether it was or not. Like it just was. I don't know. Literally, it's on the front of ESPN.com, front of CBSSports.com. It's the first video you see on all these. If you have not seen it yet, you could go and find it. It was fan interference. It's not even a question. But you lose by two, and that was a two-run home run. That's why we're talking about they lose this game by seven. It's not a big deal. I mean, it's still a big deal because we talk about it. But the fact that it really at the end of the game,
it's a big deal.
Affected everything.
It
might change everything in this game. And now what? The Red Sox are up 3-1 in the series. You're talking about tying a series or going up 3-1, where you know the odds of when a team's up 3-1 in one of these series, it's basically over.
Yes.
So it's big. But when a call like this is made, it's going to be the topic of conversation no matter what happens.
When they have to come in on what appears to be a home run and make a call on something, and they go back and a umpire from where he is, I think he got it right. I think he got it right. I think he got the call right. They looked at it. They reviewed it. Felt the same way.
Yep. Call stands. Batter's out. That's what everyone reading all the texts and tweets from last night that and all these articles.
We got to go to break here. We're running. Man, every time I look up today, it's been one of those days where I'm a step slow today. I'm a step or two slow.
You got a big coffee, though. You're gonna be
on the time. No, I had to bring in one more. Yeah. I had to bring another big boy in. My first big boy was lonely, so we brought in the second one to have a friend to get ready to go.
Your coffee's talking to each other again, because you know when that happens, I got to look at you twice. Make sure you're all right.
Don't do that. Right. Don't do that. But this one's pretty good. I thought the first one early this morning was good. This isn't bad either.
You're talking to the coffee again.
Yeah, I am. Right. I'm looking at it now. Radio.com. Radio.com. How many people had a chance to watch the Miami Heat in their opener last night lose to the Magic 104-101? Saw Whiteside 12 points, 18 rebounds. And also last night, Dwayne Wade, 26 minutes, 3 for 13, 9 points, 11 rebounds. What did you think about D-Wade last night?
Opening game of the season looked a little rusty, looked a little older.
A little?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to be nice. He didn't have any hop.
Defense was optional last night.
Yeah.
He just looked.
He did grab, what, 11 rebounds?
He did have 11 rebounds. He could play. He's a really smart guy. He could still play. It's just we were so used to the high-flying, all the things he could do, and it just looked like he's just not in peak.
No, he's not.
Ready to go.
No, it doesn't look like he is, and that kind of was it. But the funny thing was, we talk about it all the time since Wade came back to this team, even when Deion Waiters was here and Richardson and everybody, you're down one. You're down a basket at the end of the game, who takes the shot? And the first thing I was thinking about last night at the end of that game was, are they going to call play for Wade here, even though he's struggling? Is it going to be Josh Richardson's ball here? Because
I think
they've kind of made it clear. You're right.
That Josh Richardson.
It's his team, basically.
It's his team.
Yeah.
He's the young star, and you're right. Even though Dragic, of course, had a great game last night. But anyway, they were up 14. They were down like 12, came back. It was crazy, crazy game, but no time to worry about that because they got Washington tonight.
That's right.
Talk about weird. How weird is that? Back-to-back games to start the season on the road. That's weird.
It is.
Yeah, you kind of work your way in. I always used to think that they worked their way into this schedule. And no, we're going right into it. At Washington tonight, we'll do it again. So that was one of the stories last night. Other two stories coming out yesterday at a professional level. Ryan Tannehill out. Brock Osweiler starts this week against the Lions. And Malik Rozier starts over Nikosi Perry for the University of Miami against Boston College when they come back and play that game on the road.
Not fully shocked that Malik was named starter, but are you shocked that it was this, you know, because the game's next week, that he named it this early and not sometime, you know, next week or whatever? Was that at all shocking to you?
No. I think he wanted to just get out of the way.
He didn't have to worry about it?
He knew, and he didn't want to hear about it every day.
Because we would ask him Monday who's the starter. Yeah.
So all you writers coming out and ask me every day, Malik's starting. Nikosi's a backup. I believe in him. I think he's got a chance to be really good. I got to win this damn game, and the experience of Malik Rozier, he didn't get another chance. Let's see how he does.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's – I'm kind of shocked.
Well, you shouldn't be shocked.
No, I'm shocked when he pulled him that early. But now I just think with the Nikosi kind of – can the Nikosi-Eric be kind of done at this point? Is Malik going to be the guy the rest of the season?
I wouldn't say he's done. Hope Nikosi doesn't treat it like he's done.
I hope not either, but if you get pulled that early in the game.
I've seen the ugly of Malik Rozier. And
you're right. We all have.
I hope that Nikosi's not going, you know, down and out and not preparing to play. And that job to me is wide open.
Yeah. I agree, too, because if Malik struggles again, you don't think Nikosi's going to be ready to get put back in the game.
It is bad. I agree with everybody. Going back and forth, I hate it. You know, when it just tells you that one guy's either not ready and the other guy you've just seen enough of, if this happens to Malik again, where his record since the end of last year has not been very good as a starting quarterback, he's got to get a lot better, play more consistent, get this thing going. Just too much talent on the team.
I agree.
It's the offensive line, too. Not to rip them, but they got to play better. They got to pass protect and give it a chance. They got a bunch of talented young receivers. This freshman class of receivers, I still think for the ones that stay, because they might have too many, should be really, really good. Should be a heck of a topic here in the near future. I think the upside of this class, if they stay, they should be big time college players, if not professional players down the road.
So you got one of the better defenses in the country. Your wide receivers are really good. Your running backs are pretty good. Your quarterback and your offensive line are the question marks right now, right?
Well, the big question mark, too, is two kickers.
Oh, yeah, I'm not even going to special teams.
Well, I'm talking special teams.
You're right. You're
coverage,
right.
Yeah. Coverage has been bad.
Yeah. Special teams in general has been bad altogether.
You're in a close game. I don't know how much I'm trusting either kicker to either a punter to kick one out of bad field position or your kicker to
– That's a big problem.
Field goal kicker to make a kick.
Because you're going
to
be in some close games, I'm sure, by the time the season's done with. So you're going to be down one with, you know, a minute and a half left in the game, 35, 45-yard field goal, and you almost have no confidence. Or you're backed up and you need to punt the ball out and let that defense get out there. This guy shanks one that goes 22 yards.
You don't want to waste all this great defense you have.
Agreed.
Giving up 200 yards and getting takeaways and plays for losses. All the pressure you're putting on people. You've got all these guys because after this year, you're going to lose a lot of guys. A lot of guys are going to be turning pro, whether they're first-round picks or fourth-round picks. It's the new thing we're seeing with all these guys turning pro. Just got to – you don't want to waste it. Just don't want to waste it. And they got to be thinking, I don't know how much better we can play than what we did against Virginia. You start in a game, again, of offense, college football. My God, you think the NFL's full of offense. Look around college football.
Teams are scoring 40 points every week.
So you got to get going. Mark Richt's got to figure something out, and he says he's going to evaluate his play calling and how he's calling things, and is he becoming predictable, getting the right guy in there, getting his offensive line, putting a foot up some butts up there and getting some guys motivated and going. Just got to score because the numbers, my God, just have not been good. Has not been real
pretty.
You're
being nice.
To this point, real bad stuff. The other thing is we were talking about is the Armando stuff coming out today on in the Miami Herald. It was just kind of weird. Armando talking, and I know he's fired up about this whole Ryan Tannehill, the way it's been handled by the team with the shoulder injury, and after the game. The comments made by Adam Gase, getting all fired up and losing it. And, of course, they went national, and everybody was showing him that night and showed him getting mad. I'm tired of talking about this. I know, and Ryan knows. So he comes out. There's an NFL investigation because of the questionable, doubtful, always not playing, and the way that. So the league's looking into that right now, and I don't know how long it's going to take to look into it. But they've got all this stuff going on. But Armando writes this article, and he's talking about one of the dysfunctional times, and this is a bad mark on the history of the franchise. This will have a chapter. I'm thinking Ryan Tannehill out with a shoulder, and then he starts talking about all these other things that have happened in the organization. Armando's a smart guy. Like, I don't put those things in the same category. Ryan Tannehill, how the team handled it, that he was injured. He's injured, he's injured. Now, they didn't give you what you want or whatever. Adam Gase could have handled the whole thing better, especially after the game. But coming out with the stuff in the article, like, oh, he got ripped by Dan Patrick, and he got ripped by, who's the other idiot?
Jim Rome,
yep. The other idiot at CBS. That guy, and then this all this stuff, and I'm like, well, those guys rip everybody. That's their job, their critique. They're going after players, and coaches aren't coaching well, and conservative coaches, and guys, Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, those are stories. Yeah, those are going to be the ones that get criticized. But it's going to be a bad chapter in the history of this franchise?
I can't put it in the same category as any of the other things that you mentioned. Any of the stuff with Tony or with Philbin or with Jimmy or with Wonstadt or with Cam Cameron. Some of those were nightmares. You want to talk about Bullygate? You want to talk about stuff like that? That's fine. Those are in the history books for bad decisions and bad things that happened down here. What happened in the last week here was Ryan was hurt. Adam didn't want to talk about it. Adam handled it wrong. I'm sure when he looks back at this, he's going to say, I probably should have handled this a little differently. And that's fine. And that's Adam.
I think he's going to think the way he handled it after the game, but not before the game.
No, because before the game, he didn't care. It was no one's, you know, like, that was fine.
Well, he cared, but Zach, the problem is, his quarterback says, I'm not feeling any better. So he says, all right, you want us to shut you down? And everybody kind of got together with the doctors. They decide to shut him down. There's something wrong in there. So he literally lets the backup quarterback that morning know, like, you're in, man. Ryan tried to go and ain't feeling right, so you're the quarterback against the Bears when you get here. So that whole thing started it. Then afterwards, after the games where it gets in, now the NFL investigation, but I don't see where this is a black eye.
Yeah, I can't go that far. It might have been a bad little situation to be having a black guy on the team.
I understand the importance of the starting quarterback, and that was Armando's original point, but then he goes into all this stuff. You mentioned Bullygate. You mentioned some of the other stuff with Ireland and Sperano and Joe Philbin and Ireland. Ireland, by the way, could have a half a damn book on his own.
Oh, my God.
Such a jackass, that guy.
That whole 4, 5, 6, 7 year stretch, whatever it was, from the time that Bill got here, Parcells, and until Philbin and all the, I mean, come on. That was a nightmare.
I could do a verbal half a book right now. If you guys want to hear the rest of the show, I'll just
we
do
got
that.
4s, 5s, and 6s.
Right.
What we need are 3s, 2s, and 1s.
Man.
And I got to find out, we have to find out who those 3s, 2s, and 1s are if we have any of those guys.
That already is worse than what happened last week.
You want
to go in order? I mean, listen, I like Armando. He's a good reporter. What happened in the last 7 days here, or whatever it was, 10 days here, is not in the top 10 or 15 horrible things that have happened. How about this? One thing we haven't even mentioned. What about a player going AWOL? You don't think that was a worse kind of situation where you don't even know where your guy was? He was on the way back to Pittsburgh?
That wasn't the worst story, though.
No, but that's just
cocaine,
another bad one.
Snorting cocaine.
Oh, assistant coach snorting cocaine?
Man, video of a coach snorting coke before. That would rank up.
Okay, so this is bad if you want to say bad, but come on. If we're writing a Dolphins chapter.
Players do go AWOL and have personal issues.
That dude was on his way back to Pittsburgh, though.
We got to go to break
here. Forgot what team he
played for. Man, we got to get rolling here. Yeah, that's right. He wanted to see if they still wanted him.
Hey, you guys need a linebacker?
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, welcome back. Man, we got all kinds of stuff going on. What part of chapter you want to put in your book?
Oh, man, that's I don't bad. Even know.
What was that thing Armando said? The chapter that's it's going to be a bad chapter in the Dolphin.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the article is Ryan Tannehill's shoulder injury chapter is a bad look for the Miami Dolphins. And then he starts going on to talk about all the different things that have happened with the different regimes that are here and coaches that were here. There's nothing I think Adam's done so far in this regime that's as bad as some of the Philbin stuff or some of the Cam Cameron stuff or even some of the Wonstadt stuff or some of the Tony stuff. I just named four other regimes. Jeff Ireland, Parcells when he first came down here. Think about all that.
Yeah, pretty good book right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great book. Armando should, as I'm going to be honest, he should write a book on all this stuff.
Well, you know,
but where would this Tannehill injury come in? Probably closer to the end of the book when you also have to say, with all this stuff going on, this team is still 4-2. They're not 2-4, 1-5 looking for a new this
well,
or that.
That's the weird part.
They're 4-2.
You won the game and had a hell of a story with the backup. Although, you want to know what's going on. Like, it is weird that you get to the stadium, you're going, Tannehill's not playing. That was my first reaction. Like,
let me read you one quick text before you go forward. This is on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022, 56022. Joe, I have no problem with Coach Gase's post-game press conference. He was asked the same question by Armando 3 times. Enough was enough. Why should he disclose anything about Ryan? Belichick doesn't disclose any information about his players' injuries ever.
Correct.
This is a guy who comes in every week. The injury report's got 500 people on it from New England. Everyone's injured. You never know who's going to play. Or some weeks, no one's on there. Like, I understand. And it was weird, weird, weird. You called the game. You had to go there and do the radio. I'm just a fan on Sundays. We both kind of woke up Sunday morning and found out that Brock Osweiler is going to start the game. That is weird. You're right. But this is not a page in the history book of the craziness that's went on. I can name 30 things more.
Yeah. The other thing's kind of weird is, like, Armando to make his point. Now, he's got to fill up the paper every day.
Of course. It's his job. I'm okay with that.
He's talking about national radio guys ripping Adam Gase. Like,
we rip guys all around the country, too, and there's sound bites, and this was a sound bite from Gase.
Just, like, I don't know if that's a big deal or makes the whole article because Rome,
who's a gas bag anyway? Just, great radio guy. That's fine. Been doing it for 100 years. But he's a gas bag. He finds something to talk about and he rips.
So I mean, it was made for radio, what he said. And, you know, I know and I don't want to tell you. And you know, and when he did say that, I was like, well, that's going to get everybody fired up.
There's your soundbite.
But I was just looking at all the other stuff when you look. And this is going to be a chapter in the ugliness of the Miami Dolphins, which has had plenty of it through the years. But I was thinking, ha ha! Not even close. I might do my top 10.
Oh,
I might
just
stir it up here and do my top 10.
I'm excited.
Not in any order. Bullygate would be a tough one to beat because we had the national news out here, right? And the whole bullying thing with children. We were my child's been bullied too at school. Well, what the hell does that have to do with like two grown-ass 300-pound guys bullying each other? Well, so that became a huge story because you hear bullying and it touches a lot of people that have been bullied through their life. I get it.
How about one that we haven't even brought up yet on the show? How about when 60 Minutes came down here to sit in the press conference with Ricky Williams when he first came back from India?
From
living in a tent, and he came back with his beard all crazy, and he's going to play football again because he owes Wayne $8 million from the signing bonus, and what's going to happen with that?
That was a weird one.
That's a weird one. I think that's more weird than this. You remember we had 60 minutes? Remember we walked into the press conference that day, and I'll never forget who the media – I think it was Harvey Green, the media relations guy at the time, who says, guys, just want to let you know, with the Charlie guy – I forgot the guy who was in there for 60 minutes. He's got the first three questions. Because it's all going to be on TV in 60 minutes. That was weird.
We've had some classics down here. That's why it was kind of weird that Armando, who's been down here and covered all the dysfunctional stuff through the organization, that he would put this one in, would have a chapter in his book. When I was thinking, my gosh, I could do it. Like Jeff Ireland would have a good piece of that book for me.
Probably two chapters or three.
Because he's been affiliated with so much stuff. First of all, Jeff Ireland alone was sitting with Donna Ponte talking about Joe Philbin's coaching and who was playing, and she ran down and told Joe Philbin. Thought I was in the fifth grade on that one.
I mean, come on. That didn't really happen, right?
We have some good ones, though. Tony Sperano's wife down on the sideline looking down before the game and going, who's the woman down on the bench? And going, it was a road game, of course. And you look down and went, oh, my God. Sperano's wife's not sitting up here. She didn't want to sit.
She was sitting on the sidelines?
She was hated.
On the bench?
Hated owner, president, and all that stuff.
Oh,
and I'll get to you why. You know why. The Stephen Ross, Jeff Ireland plane.
Of course.
That went to Stanford, and
to
he came
Harbaugh.
Back.
Yeah.
They're going to have this press conference, and he wasn't ready. He was pissed. They go, all right, we'll give you another year in your contract. Came out, but it was like, that was it. Because Tony, God bless his soul, he's no longer with us, but Tony shut down after that and did the whole, all right, fellas, it's us against everybody else, including this friggin' organization. Of course, it didn't work out.
Feed the wolf, right? Yeah. Feed the wolf.
So it was, we've had
a lot.
How about Donna Ponte standing in the back and Joe Philbin's doing interviews and she's critiquing him and telling him what he should say.
What happened here?
I was like, he's a damn head football coach. He doesn't need your ass up there telling him what he should or shouldn't say.
She's taking notes to rip him afterwards.
No, she didn't rip him. Just went over to tell him, like, you know, Joe, how'd I do, Don? And, oh, jeez, man.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, that stuff.
That is awkward stuff. Go back just to that Tony thing for 1 second. How about that press conference? With Steven in the middle, Mr. Ross, Jeff Ireland on the left, Tony on the right.
That was
and
very
the pictures
awkward.
That come from that were Tony staring down at the ground. He's getting a 1 year extension. We have faith in our coach. We're giving him an extension.
Yeah.
He's staring down.
We
that thing ended.
Him.
He went right. Jeff went left. Steven Ross went straight. Nobody liked each other in the room.
No. That was a divorce right there.
Oh,
it was it was official separation,
correct.
Soon to be divorce right there. That was a bad one. That would be, like, you couldn't make that. I'll tell you another one, though.
I'm excited. I like writing these down.
Yeah, I know. These are bad, and I don't even care now. I really don't. But this is why I don't believe on these games, especially you got these quick trips, these guys should bring their wives. Guys that are controlling things, especially – when the wives don't get along. Jeff Ireland's wife and Tony Sperano's wife did not like each other. And
they hated each other, you could say it.
It was awkward. And they were sitting up there. It just made air. I feel sorry for those poor coaches. At least I was in the back just kind of watching it and feeling the tension in the front. I always like to be those poor coaches going,
no.
Oh, this is bad. And they had to be saying, oh, my gosh, the head coach keeps bringing his wife. The GM keeps bringing his wife.
And it's awkward.
It's just, you could make all that stuff up.
Mm-mm.
So put that in the book.
So far, we're in about chapter 8, and I still don't have the Ryan thing yet. And we haven't gotten to a lot.
No, there's been a lot of stuff. There's been the drafting stories, and there's been guys' fingers going everywhere, and guys trying to save jobs with owner going around, and people in the organization trying to go around everybody to save their jobs by calling the owner directly. I mean, there's just been some. I mean, a lot of crazy stuff happened, man. I just like so when I read some of that stuff, I went, "Damn, you could do a lot better than that, Armando." If you want to find some stuff that's giving the organization a black eye,
we have so many texts come in. We'll read them at some point.
The shoulder of, and I don't know exactly what happened, so I can't act like I know. I'd like to believe that Adam Gase was just telling the truth. Like, it got worse. I mean, there's nothing I could do. Matter of fact, I had to call the quarterback in the morning. He did work out early in the morning. I was told he actually threw the ball well by somebody that watched it. So I went, he's playing. And then I go, no, he's not playing. Okay, I guess he didn't feel very good throwing. And then all the stuff after the game that had everybody fired up. Anyway, it continues on. And we continue on. We got the 8 o'clock hour coming up. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, will join us. He knows Ryan Tannehill real well.
Correct.
So we'll jump in on that and try to figure out what the heck is going on. What else you got going on today?
Radio.com. Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.